You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, streaming live on WGXC.org. We're going to try to pick up a stream from WIOX.org, 91.3 FM, a sister station of ours. They are presenting the Watershed Post radio show, a weekly radio show that WGXC is also going to be broadcasting from now on. They've got Lisa Harris and Julia Reichel live in the studio, I believe. So we're going to go to that stream and see if we can pick it up. For those of you who have been listening, that's the Watershed Post has been kind of one of the most essential information lifelines over the past couple of days. They've got a live feed happening. Here
they
are.
This is Julia Reichel reporting from the flooded out but still operating Roxbury WIOX 91.3 studios. And Lisa Harris, my co-editor of the Watershed Post, is on the phone. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Julia. I'm actually quite surprised to hear that you were able to get in. That's marvelous.
Yes.
We are both on the air.
We're both on the air. We're doing the show thanks to the good people at WIOX. I literally just walked in the door, so you probably have something planned. I just want to let you know that this is a special hour-long edition of the Watershed Post Half-Hour News Hour.
The Watershed Post Full hour, half hour news hour.
Watershed Post full hour, half hour news hour. And we will be focusing exclusively on the impact of Hurricane Irene in the Catskill Mountains, which is a subject we have been covering without any sleep for about 4 days now. And I, just so you know, Lisa, and so our listeners know, just walked in from the Olivaria Valley, where I was on an ATV behind some DEP cops riding the washed out ridges of Route 47. Excuse me if I've gotten that wrong. And we got about 5 miles in and then came to a 50-foot new Grand Canyon. I've had some interviews with residents that I can tell you about. I don't know if I can have the capability to actually play them for you, but there are tons of people still stranded up there, about 200 households affected on that part of the Catskills alone.
That's amazing, Julia. That's just incredible. And I'm so glad that we were able to get your firsthand report of what is happening in the more remote portions of Shandaken today, because those folks have been really hard hit.
I'm going to let you lead, Lisa, because I have to unpack my bag and get some of my materials out. And I bet you have some ideas about what we're going to talk about today. Oh, we have Jessica Vecchione on the phone. I'm being told by Mike.
I'll tell you what I had planned.
Okay.
And insofar as this is a plan, this is a plan that came out of my head about 5 minutes ago.
Excellent.
But what I am doing right now, in addition to being live on the radio with you all, is I am in a forum, a live blog forum that has been running perpetually 24/7 with moderators staffing it around the clock on www.watershedpost.com. This thing has been running since Saturday, absolutely around the clock. And I'm so grateful to everybody that has pitched in to help us with this. And in this forum, people are posting the most current news that they have. I have heard from some people that they are actually calling each other on landlines and delivering the latest news to people that are stranded without power or internet from our live blog over landlines. And so this has become a really vital communication tool, both for people that are trying to figure out what's happening on the ground and where they can go, what they can do to help, and also for people that are watching from around the world. I'm just looking at this forum right now, which you can see at www.watershedpost.com. Click on the big gray box at the top of our homepage. I am looking in this right now, and we have 1,598 live readers watching this forum at the moment, sharing information about the flooding. And that's just astounding. So a huge shout out to everybody that has been helping their neighbors figure out what's going on this blog right now. It's getting very meta up in here because people are now talking to me on the blog about me talking to them. but yes, there have been some... I just want to talk a little bit about some of the themes that have emerged today from some of the discussions that we have been having. Lots of discussion about whether second homeowners should come upstate to check on their properties. And we have been asking people who have property up here that are in the most hard-hit areas, so, you know, the remoter parts of Shandaken, the Middletown, Margaretville, Arkville, Fleischmann's have been hit very hard. In Greene County, Tannersville, Windham, Prattsville, I'm sure you must know by now, but if you don't, Prattsville is basically destroyed. The governor did a press conference from there earlier today. And if you are a homeowner in one of the areas that has been slammed, we are asking that people do not come up. I know that many people are upset about this, but on the situation on the ground is
dire.
The first responders are really they're having a hard time, and as it is, trying to coordinate all of the chaos. And people are being great, but you know, but it's a very, very big job that we have to do here. And we actually, Jess Vecchione has been in Margaretville taking video for most of the morning, and she will be joining us shortly to talk about that. Julia, why don't I hand it over to you, and you can interview Jess about what she's been doing in Margaretville this morning.
Sure. Do we have Jess on the phone right now?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hi, Jess.
Hi, Julia, Julie, and Lissa. You know, words don't describe the debt the community owes to the Watershed Post, and also, you know, vice versa, because the community has been just as active in keeping that blog going. I mean, it's just been a mutually beneficial thing. It's beyond words. I mean, hopefully somebody, you know, some writer somewhere is going to come up with the right words after we can step back and look at this. But right now I'm in Margaretville, and we have a couple of people that want to talk to you. I have Gene Rosa from the Margaretville Fire Department Chief. He's right here.
That's marvelous.
And he can give you an assessment of some of the situations that are going on. And we can talk about what I've seen in a little bit. But I'm going to pass the phone over to Gene right now.
Wonderful. So this is Gene Rosa, the head of the Margaretville Fire Department?
That's right.
Thank you, Gene, for being with us. What are you seeing? How is the state of affairs in Margaretville today?
Well, currently here in the village of Margaretville today, we're helping residents get their stuff out of some of the buildings that are currently deemed unsafe until repairs can be made to them.
And which buildings are those?
It would be the buildings on Main Street in the block that the Cheese Barrel is on.
I heard there were rumors flying yesterday online and offline that those buildings are in danger of collapse, that they've shifted. What are the hard facts about the state of those buildings on Main Street?
Well, we've had one structural engineer make an assessment of those buildings this morning, and a state structural engineer is supposed to be here, I believe, tomorrow to make his assessment. There are some concerns with possible settling on the back of the buildings and such, and they are deemed unsafe at present for people to be in them, so we're helping people get their possessions out. And that's pretty much where we stand. Nobody's made any decisions about demolitions or anything like that, and there's no indication that they're in imminent danger of collapse.
I saw photos of a earth mover moving debris out of the CVS in the Freshtown parking lot. I believe it was yesterday. Are there demolitions underway on the CVS?
Actually, the CVS store did collapse on its own Monday. I guess in early afternoon and Monday, it did collapse, and we immediately removed any possible debris, further collapse that could be a threat to someone, and that's in the process of being cleaned up now so that the structure, part of the rest of that structure, which is the Freshtown, can begin their process of restoring their business.
Were you, there was an AP video report of interviews with our first responders in Margaretville. I think that it reported that you saved 42 people during the flood. Is that number correct?
Yeah, during Sunday's flood, we had 42 individuals that we had to rescue. All of those were what we call swift water rescues. We had the assistance of Sydney Fire Department and the Delaware County Sheriff's Department to use some boats, and we also had two people that were actually airlifted off the roof of their house
with a helicopter. I haven't heard that before.
Yeah, that occurred up in Kelly Corners.
I have heard that there was an air rescue in Kelly Corners. So that's part of the 42?
Yes, that's part of the 42. That's actually part of the Middletown-Hardenburg Fire District, which is what the Martinville Fire Department is part of. That Middletown-Hardenburg Fire District. That's our response area.
Speaking of Hardenburg, how is Hardenburg?
Hardenburg has been extremely hard. It's basically cut off, or it was cut off. The people in Hardenburg have managed to build themselves makeshift roads, but they are still very limited access to those areas. Haynes Hollow, which is off the Drybrook Road in the town of Hardenburg, has been completely destroyed. I assume, by what I've been told, I haven't been able to get there to see it myself, but by what I've been told, they're many months away from being able to return to life as normal up there. Ryder Hollow had some major damage as well in that area.
Is anyone still stranded anywhere in your response area?
Yes, the people in Haynes Hollow are definitely stranded. We have relief operations going on there today. I have crews working with New York State Forest Rangers to take in food to those people. We're also doing the same thing in some of the portions of Ryder Hollow in that same area.
How many people would you guess at?
I think in the entire upper areas of Drybrook, you're probably talking upwards of 75 people in that area that have limited access, limited ability to leave that area or get supplies.
This is the problem we're seeing across the Catskills. The people who are stranded are the ones with no electricity, no phone, and no contact for the most part, and therefore nobody really knows that they're stranded. This is the first that I've heard confirmed that 75 people have limited access in Drybrook Road, and that's pretty stunning. We want to draw attention to that because I think that should be where the response efforts are really focusing on. I mean, you tell me, you're the first responder. Is that the most dire situation, people who are still stranded?
Yeah, that's for us, that's been our priority at this point, is to try to make sure that they have adequate food and water, ice, that kind of thing. And then secondary to that is, of course, the situation we have in the more populated areas, such as here in the village of Margaville. We've got major safety concerns with the cleanup effort.
Julia, if I could just jump in for a minute.
Sure.
Just a little bit on the town of Hardenburg, for those of you who might be listening from outside of our immediate area and aren't familiar with it. Even people very close to the town of Hardenburg may not have heard of it because it doesn't really have a proper town center. It is a town on the very western edge of Ulster County that is not accessible by road from anywhere within Ulster County, even under normal circumstances. The population, according to Wikipedia, of the town of Hardenburg is 208. It is a tiny, tiny, very remote place with no real town center to speak of. The town is sort of split in half by a mountain.
Can I break in for just a minute?
Part of the town goes away.
Lisa, Gene's going to
give us some breaking news for you.
Thank you.
Governor Cuomo
Great.
Is currently standing on Main Street of Margaville.
Is he giving a press conference, Gene, or is he just standing there?
He's just kind of standing there right now.
So he's coming to Margaretville a lot. He was already there on Sunday.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when he walked down the street on Sunday in the middle of a flood.
Oh, I thought he was in a car driving, which is the thing you're not supposed to do.
Well, they drove down through, and then they proceeded to have water run out of the inside of the car when they opened the doors and stepped out.
So what is Governor Andrew Cuomo doing right now? Where is he standing?
He's right under the red light.
And he's just standing there? Does he have an entourage?
Yeah, he's got his typical security detail, and he's in the process of conversing with people.
Well, how do you feel about the governor's attention on Margaretville? I mean, did this happen during the 1996 flood?
Well, Governor Pataki, who was the governor at that time, he did make a trip into Margaretville and did tour it, a few days after the flood.
Okay, so it's not the first time Margaretville has had governor touring its flooding. That's crazy. Thank you for that breaking news. What can we do, Gene? I think everyone across the country, across the state, wants to know, how they can help the first responders. And I've had some conflicting reports about the fire departments don't need clothes, they do need clothes, they don't need donations, they do. Can you tell us how we can help you?
Well, several things. First off, if you're not in the area, don't come into the area. We need to clean up, and we need to have the ability to do that without having people in the way. Secondly, no, we don't. The fire departments do not need donations. There is a number to call if you want to make donations.
Please.
Here in Delaware County, it's being dealt with through the County Emergency Operations Center. I believe Delaware Opportunities is actually part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
If you call 607-746-9600, that's 607-746-9600, and tell them the person that answers that phone that you want to make donations, they can make arrangements with you from there.
Thank you. Organizing the relief effort has been, I think, pretty chaotic up until now. I'm delighted to hear that there's one number for Delaware County, and we will be spreading that around. What else do people need to know about Margaretville and Middletown more generally? I know that there is a lot of traffic and people who are curious. What would you like the world to know about how you're doing?
I think the world should know that I've had task force team members here, a FEMA task force team here from California. This team is made up of battalion fire chiefs from places like the city of Oakland, California, Alameda, California. These are people that have been to, responded to Katrina, things like that. And the one thing that they're amazed at is how much progress we've made in the last couple of days here. And they're extremely impressed by the way people have pulled together, as we always do here.
Mm-hmm.
And how neighbors are helping neighbors.
We've heard wonderful reports about people helping each other, staying up all night, going in the streets. There was an amazing photo I saw on Facebook yesterday of a kid asleep on a chair in the middle of Main Street while his parents were cleaning out their the property, one of the buildings on Main Street. And I thought that really captured how, you know, the community is open and everyone's here together and just doing their best and taking care of each other. So we really want to extend an amazing thank you to everyone who's been responding, especially the Margaretville Fire Department. Thank you so much. We really can't thank you enough.
Well, thank you.
Jess, are you there?
Julia, you've heard that Governor Cuomo is now on the street in Margaretville.
I have, Jean.
And our very own Fred Margulies is working very hard to get him to come up here and say a few words to you all. And he has said that he may do it. If he can, he's going to come up here and say hello to you.
That would be fantastic. Thank you.
In the interim, I have Jean Rosa, who is the town justice.
Now, Jean Rosa is a fire. You're talking about Gary Rosa.
Gary Rosa. I'm sorry.
You get your Rosas mixed up.
And like, I've been looking at one and looking at the other, and then all of a sudden it hit me. Oh, my goodness. They are twins. So Gary's here, and I'll put him on, and he can say a few words.
Thank you, Jess.
Okay.
Hi, Gary.
Hello.
Hi, Gary Rosa, town justice for the village of Margaretville, right? I get your title.
Yes, for the town of Middletown.
Town,
yes.
Of Middletown. Can you tell me what some of the legal ramifications of this flooding are going to be? I mean, that's what you're going to see flooding into your courtroom when the courtroom gets back up and running.
Well, as far as the courtroom is concerned, I don't think I'm going to see many ramifications at all from the flooding.
Really?
The legal ramifications really have to do with insurance matters, hopefully assistance from either the state or federal governments, things of that nature. But as far as local court, which is essentially a criminal court, I don't anticipate that there will be much involved.
That's wonderful. That's great news. Good. How was your house affected? Where are you? What happened to you?
Well, my law office is on Main Street in Margaretville.
Gotcha.
Or it was. About 7.5 feet of water came through my office.
This is the building across from the Village Pub, yes?
I'm across from the Village Pub, kitty corner from the pub. That's correct.
And where were you when it started flooding? I hope you weren't in your office.
I was in my office. Actually, it was amazing how fast the water came up. At 8 o'clock, I was sitting at my desk doing work, and at 8:30, I looked out and said, boy, that water is coming awfully fast. I started trying to get as much of my files safe as I could, and by 9:30 I was waist deep in water.
Waist deep. So were you actually like wading through your office?
I was, until the windows went out and I got out of there.
That's terrifying. Were you in touch with people, emergency responders at this point?
I was not, but I'm going to tell you that the governor's on his way up, so I'm going to hand this over to Jessica.
Marvelous.
Julia, Governor Cuomo has just walked in, and I'm going to pass the phone right over to him.
Thanks so much, Jess Vecchione. Governor Andrew Cuomo, this is your second visit to Margaretville in a week. Thanks for coming.
Yes, it is. I hope they aren't seeing too much of me.
This is WIOX, Roxbury 91.3 Radio, and we're doing an hour-long show about the effects of flooding throughout the Catskills, especially on the Margaretville-Roxbury area. Why are you in town today? What are you doing?
Well, I wanted to come back, and I wanted to see how it was going and how people were doing. I was here just when the water was really starting to run. There must have been 4 feet of water in the downtown area when I was here. And we've been working with federal officials. We had Secretary Napolitano in here today. I just saw her and the FEMA director, Federal Emergency Management Agency director. I want them to see firsthand the level of damage we have here so we get the federal assistance we're going to need.
How is the federal response going to be organized? Is there a FEMA person designated for Middletown or Delaware County?
Well, the first step we took today, the president signed the disaster declaration, which means we qualify for aid. And FEMA has their regional director here, Lynn Canton, who is very nice. I happen to have worked with in a small world story. I used to run a department called HUD, Federal Housing and Urban Development Department. And HUD did disaster assistance, disaster reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And I worked with FEMA in Puerto Rico on the aftermath of a disaster there, a hurricane there. And Lynn Canton, who is now the FEMA regional director, I worked with in Puerto Rico. So small world story. She's here. She's very helpful. But Secretary Napolitano herself was here, and she made it clear that they're going to do everything they can. And that's important because we're starting to rebuild, you see. There's a lot of energy there. Even in Margaretville, you can feel it. People are coming together. But the bottom line is the bottom line, and the bottom line is we need economic help. This is not a part of the state that has a deep pocket. So the economics are going to be important, and the federal government is going to be important there.
Governor, you've been around the Catskills area. You flew over Schoharie County 2 days ago. Can you tell us how things are proceeding in some of the other parts of the state, Schoharie County and Greene County particularly? There's not a lot of word out, and there's still people stranded. What can you tell us about that?
You have probably Greene, Delaware, the Schoharie Creek, Mohawk River. Those were probably some of the worst air index yesterday, mm-hmm. Keene Valley, Jay. Mm-hmm. They had significant damage also. But I think we've turned the corner. I really think we have. It's now moving to another new phase, which is more about now reconstruction and recovery rather than just emergency preparation. And it's going to take a lot of time, a lot of energy, and a lot of resources. But we will be okay. I believe that, and I want to look at it this way. I want to say it's an opportunity not just to rebuild, but to build back better than ever before.
I have a question on
how do we make our community stronger?
Yeah, this is a tough question for everyone rebuilding in the Catskills right now. A lot of the towns that have been wiped out are built on floodplains that are prone to flooding, and I'm wondering what the state's way going forward will be advising people as they rebuild. Should the fresh town be in a different place so it won't flood out like it has twice in a decade? What do you think about that?
Well, look, the floodplain, we understand the risks of building in a floodplain area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the economics of the floodplain. And that's a decision that individuals are going to have to make and individuals are going to have to live with. Would it be great to have no construction in a potential floodplain? Sure, but it's also highly impractical.
Mm-hmm.
We have also, I should mention, We are going to streamline the DEC permitting process for reconstruction and recovery activities, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want DEC flooded with a lot of reconstruction and recovery permits that then backlog DEC, and then people need months to get a permit. So we're going to be streamlining that so people can actually get back to work and do the construction they need to do and do it quickly.
That's great.
I'm going to excuse myself now.
Thank you so much.
I'm trying to get a lot in today, but it was really a pleasure to chat with you, and thank you very much for having me.
Thank you, Governor Andrew Cuomo. You're listening to the Watershed Post half-hour news hour special Irene Impact Edition on WIOX Community Radio 91.3 and Rocks WIOXRadio.org. Excuse me. Hi, Jess. How you doing?
Hey. Wow, that was a nice surprise.
Thank you for arranging
that
our...
That was Fred. That was the magic of Fred Margulies.
Fred?
He ran down on the street and grabbed the governor by the collar and brought him up here.
I just want to say that this is an example of the kind of community volunteering and gumption that's been running all of the media response to this hurricane for the past 4 days. Bravo to everybody who's dragooning public officials, who's talking to people, who's getting the word out. This is great. We have the ear of the governor, you can tell.
Yep, this is what community is about, and what I've been seeing on the street is equally unbelievable.
Please tell
people
us what you're
everywhere
saying.
Helping out. I got accosted by two cute young ladies that were dragging a cooler behind them, and I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Well, this morning we went to the fire department and asked how we can help, and they gave us this and said to go out and feed people." So, you know, everybody's involved. I was just over at the Methodist Church, and there is an incredible organic movement that sprung up over there. I mean, out of nothing. People from the Artists Guild and other people from the community have really sort of developed like an organization there, and they have the basement covered with supplies, with anything someone might need, clothing, food. They have social services now coming in to help direct some of the services. And, I mean, as I was there filming, a woman walked in from Staten Island, and she told me that she had been following everything on the Watershed Post. And she grew up in Margaretville and couldn't wait to get up here. She called on all her friends through Facebook to donate things, bring them to her, and she had just arrived and was coming into the church with supplies.
What does the church need, Jess? I know I asked Jean Rosa this already, but please do tell us what supplies are needed and what should not be brought.
Well, I think clothing is, they've got a lot of clothing. I think they need food now, pet supplies, cleaning supplies, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got quite a bit there, but I think supplies are getting depleted quickly.
Mm-hmm. So a toilet paper, right, that too?
I'm sorry?
Toilet paper,
yeah,
that kind of
thing? Yeah, things like that, household goods. And, you know, there's people around the clock there helping out that can receive other people. The fire department has sandwiches. We've got the National Guard on the street helping to direct people around on the roads because you can't get through certain parts of Margaretville. Another thing, they're the cadets from Job Corps in Oneonta.
Mm.
They're amazing, and I spoke with the director, and he said they're trained for this. They're so thrilled to be here, to be pitching in and helping out. And, I mean, these are young kids, you know, getting, you know, really getting a taste of what it's like to you know, to perform civic duty, and they're loving it. They're having a great time. And I was over at Margaretville School. The principal, first person I saw, sweaty, dirty, up to her neck, you know, cleaning up, trying to get ready for the school year, and there must be 100 people there, students, teachers, community members, everyone's cleaning up, and they've all got smiles on their faces. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty amazing, and I hope that I can convey some of this in a little video and have something up by tonight.
Oh, wonderful. I want you to talk a little bit about Fleischmann's, where you were on Monday, and you have a great, deep connection to that community. You directed the documentary Bienvenidos a Fleischmann's a couple of years ago, and I think you checked in with a lot of the subjects of that documentary on Monday, correct?
I did, and I spoke with Martin Morales, the owner of Mi Lupita grocery store and restaurant. Also, Rene Garcia, who has the Cabana across the street,
mm-hmm.
as well as Sam Gill, who has the gas station, convenience store, great taco place down the street. And everybody was hit to varying degrees, and they, these guys, they know adversity in their lives, and they can meet it head on. And also the whole community is really, I mean, they're hurting. There are a lot of people that have no home. They have no possessions. I mean, there was one home I that was in the video I did. I mean, it's just destroyed. A woman with five kids. I mean, mm-hmm. they had to run out. They had 20 minutes from the time they realized that the river was going to come into their house till they got out of their house. I mean, you can't really collect any of your belongings in that amount of time. Mm-hmm. So they have nothing. And all the populations, you have the Hasidic population out on the street. Everybody seemed to be communicating and reaching out and finding ways to help each other out. It's, again, you know, these communities are really used to fending for themselves and, you know, taking care of themselves, and that's what they're doing. They're out there doing it.
Is anyone available? Maybe you can talk about Arkville a little bit. I drove through Arkville this morning. I noticed there was a lot of dust getting kicked up. There's a stoplight in the middle of town. There's obvious flood damage along Route 28. The trains look fine. There's some road erosion, but what, if any, news do we have about Arkville and how Arkville is doing?
I'll tell you, I don't have any news. Mm-hmm. I didn't go that far. You know, I stopped in Margaretville. Sure. But I honestly couldn't give you any more news.
That's fine.
Than what you've just...
I figured maybe someone was standing next to you.
You know, no one's here. I'm all alone right now. Okay. Everybody's run out to walk around with the governor,
to
I think.
To the governor. That's wonderful.
We were wondering why all the helicopters were flying around outside, and suddenly Cuomo appeared on the street.
Oh, that's amazing. Well, I think then we'll take our coverage of the hurricane to some other counties, and we can say goodbye to you, Jess.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I can't even thank you enough.
My pleasure.
And
so happy to be a part of it. And let me just say one thing.
Sure.
I have heard from so many people, from Glenn over at Morganville Telephone, the people at the Methodist Church. Everyone is saying that without your blog, it would have been really painful. It would have been really difficult to organize a lot of things, and it was a godsend. And you guys, you're my heroes.
Oh, well, Jess.
You were before, so Jess, even more now.
A love fest for everyone. Jess, you've done a phenomenal job. So, I mean, it's been heroic. It's been an honor to serve this community, and we just love you guys.
Oh, and they love you. Okay.
Thanks so much for
joining us.
You're
Bye.
Listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour special Hurricane Irene Impact on the Catskills edition on WIOX 91.3 Roxbury and WIOXradio.org. We are also simulcasting on WGXC Radio in Greene County, and this program will air later, I hope, on WJFF in Sullivan County. Liz, are you still there?
I am still with you.
I think we should do a rundown of a couple of the places we haven't discussed yet, starting with Shandaken. And if you'd be so good as to interview me, as I'm the eyewitness on Shandaken this morning, I'd be obliged.
I would be delighted to interview you about Shandaken. So, Julia has been out in the field all morning, riding around on an ATV with first responders, and to some of the more remote parts of Shandaken, where we hear people are still stranded behind roads that have washed out, and where there are still major, major communications issues in the field. Julia, what are you seeing out there? First off, how is Olivarria Road?
Olivarria Road is pretty nightmarish at points. And it's funny, that's sort of a freakish thing about this storm. There are parts of it that are pristine, totally lovely. At points when I was riding on the ATV today, it looked like just any other gorgeous summer getaway in the Catskills. But I passed the Olivarria Maple guy. I think the name of the proprietor is Irv von Baron. You'll have to excuse me. We're yelling at each other from across a creek here. His house has, half of it is falling into a ditch. His wife is doing laundry in an enormous sinkhole. I kid you not. There are actually a lot of people up and down Olivarria Road who are doing laundry in the streams that have jumped their banks. And when I passed Irv, I said, "How you doing?" And he said, "We're open. We're open. We're selling." He had his sign up, the Olivarria Maple sign. He was saying, "I ain't done. I'm open for business."
That is amazing. I wonder what the official size of the Olivarria Road economy is right now. It's amazing that there is a business up there still operating. People doing laundry in streams. That's just incredible. What about Woodland Valley? I know some people have been asking in the live blog about Woodland Valley earlier today.
I talked to our Shandaken correspondent, Tom Rinaldo, last night, and I haven't had a chance to actually post his update, but he understands, he did a tour of Mount Tremper and Fox Hollow Road and Chichester yesterday, and he says that he didn't actually make it to Woodland Valley, but by all reports, Woodland Valley is doing pretty well. That's one of the places we have little information on still, so I invite any Woodland Valley listeners to please email us at editor@watershedpost.com or post an update on the live blog.
Just to update you, Julia, we heard from Tom Rinaldo again this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Briefly, not specifically about Woodland Valley, but he gave us a bunch of information about the shuttle that is going back and forth between Main Street, Phoenicia, and Bel Air for emergency purposes.
The UCAT, I believe. It's going from Bel Air to Kingston and back. Although I picked up a hitchhiker, or rather I offered a hitchhiker a ride on the way out of Olivia Road, and they're detouring traffic now on Olivia Road through, I think it's Lost Clove Hollow, which is actually a really treacherous little left-hand turn that's a single-lane road, and it ends up spitting you out behind the Peekamoose, and I dropped him there. He was going to Kingston, and I was coming back here, and, you know, there wasn't anyone there. So I hope that the UCAT is picking up at the Peekamoose Lost Clove exit, because it was a little bit sketchy when I dropped him off. I have a lot of other reporting from Olivia. I talked to...
Before we get back into that, let me just ask you quickly about 214.
Oh, sure. You're the interviewer. 214. Sorry, you're going to have to remind me what that road is.
The road that goes out of Phoenicia on the other side of... Mm-hmm. If you don't know, don't worry. Go back to Olivia.
Yeah.
I just know that people have been asking about it. The road that goes up to Hunter and Tannersville.
All reports are that 214, this is from yesterday, I think it's relatively passable, but again, the Ulster County emergency responders are urging people not to drive unless you have to. So if people really need to go, they can try it. I think that's how some people got out, but I'm not sure.
Great. Well, let's get back to Olivia, and we actually have a commenter on the live blog asking now, Julia, can you describe the ravine a bit more on Olivia Road?
Okay, yeah, this is why I went up all the way there. So the ravine is past the Full Moon Resort, about another mile. The Full Moon Resort, by the way, I did not stop, but I did get a look at about 30 people milling around on the grass outside. They have their tent up. There's some flood damage on the high ground side of the road, but people look well-fed and relatively comfortable. The ravine a mile or so beyond that is terrifying. I will be posting a video and some photos later today on the Watershed Post. But basically, you come suddenly up a stretch of road. There's a huge down tree and there's police tape. And beyond the police tape, the road suddenly ends. What's so terrifying about this is that until yesterday, no one was guarding this road. So if you had driven on Olivia Road at night, you could have easily fallen into, it's literally this gash in this perfectly seamless road. And you get to the edge. I got to the edge before the DEP guys guarding it sort of said, hey, you don't want to get all the way to the edge there. And look down and it's 50 feet deep. It's like the Grand Canyon. There are little flecks of pulverized road at the bottom in the rubble that you can barely see the yellow dotted line on. It's insane. I've never seen anything like it. It's very sudden and abrupt. That's the worst damage on Olivia Road, but there are two slide outs. One of the slides is at the Olivia Maple store. That is what has damaged his house so much. And there's another slide further up on that road. And I was told by the emergency responders that there are about 200 households on Olivia Road alone that are affected by this. That doesn't mean 200 people stranded, but it could be more. They've accounted for almost all of them. When I was there, people were going on ATVs, emergency responders were going door to door, checking in with everyone, doing medicine and water runs, and they were building a bridge. The first washout is at Hatchery Hollow. And that's a bridge where the amazing Ulster County Highway Department has erected a new span in 14 hours. They were just finishing it. I went over it this morning. And they're getting buses over to bus people out if they need to be bussed out. The really sort of disturbing thing about Olivia Road, everybody I talked to said there was zero communication and no word from the outside world for about 24 hours from Sunday to Monday. They were terrified. There were rumors flying about thieves and looting. They thought Phoenicia had vanished, which is not true. These were a lot of rumors. So the atmosphere
wow.
was terrifying. Another great story from Olaveria is that several amazing civilians commandeered bulldozers and repaired part of the road just by the maple store. Flo Keeney, I talked to her. She wasn't one of the commandeers, but her house is right by the washout that they fixed. She said that Mike Ford and Brian Perez were two of the civilians who just they found oil caches, fuel caches. They siphoned them into earth movers and they fixed the road themselves. And this is, I'm telling you this because the emergency responders were delighted with their efforts. People had to take their lives into their own hands in Olaveria, and they did. So that's the update from Olaveria. It's dire still. I mean, I was driving by people who we couldn't take out there. They're not starving or dying, but they are stranded with no power, no electricity, and no dry ice. There's no dry ice distribution point at the head of Big Indian Road. The closest one was in Alabama last night, and it was 2.5 hours delayed. So like the people up Drybrook Road, like the people in East Jewett, like the people in Spruceton, which I just saw on our Facebook wall, they're still stranded too. There's a report anecdotally. People all over the Catskills are still stranded, and it's a lot more than 100 people from the estimate that Jean Rosa just gave me. That's 75 people on Drybrook alone, 200 households in Olaveria Road. I think the scale of the strandees is staggering, and that story is the vital story that needs to get out.
I think you're absolutely right, Julia. The story of the stranded people in the Catskills that no one has yet heard from is, if you think the story of the fact that Irene hit the Catskills is underreported, this is the really underreported story, because the info is emerging now about how hard our towns were hit, how hard our villages and our business districts were hit, and they were. There have been towns that have been basically obliterated off the map. But this other story of people living in houses behind private bridges and private roads that have washed out in some cases, people that have been cut off from the outside world with very little or no communication, who are still stranded up here. And as you said, there's no solid number on how many people those are, but there are they clearly number in the hundreds, and this is an underreported story, just because, not because the media is not caring about it, but because it is so difficult to get information. So thank you for visiting one of these places where people are stranded and getting some word out.
I couldn't have done it without the blessing and chauffeuring of about 5 different people in the DEP and the Ulster County Sheriff's Department. I was embedded. That's what happened. I got embedded into the Ulster County Emergency Response System for the morning.
I just want to put a little plug out there for any first responders that might be listening, just about how important that is. We are really trying to tell the story of what's happening here, and thank you to every single first responder that has taken a second out of their day.
Yes.
I know how busy you are, but we really appreciate you keeping in contact with us and helping us tell the story of what's happening here to the world.
I want to take just a minute to ask and sort of pool together some information about Schoharie County, because that, I feel, hasn't been reported much at all. We have a correspondent, Marty Rosen, who owns a house in Blenheim, and she has been visiting communities like Fultonham and Preston Hollow in these sort of far-flung corners of Schoharie. Preston Hollow is actually in Albany County, but just barely. And she's meeting person after person, sans flood insurance, you know, no flood insurance, who was completely washed out and who are just sitting on their porches waiting for FEMA. I should note that the National Guard has been mobilized in Schoharie County for several days now. I actually talked with 2 Guards people in Olaveria Road who were in Prattsville yesterday. One of them showed me her photos taken in there, and they were sort of shocked at how bad Prattsville is. But there have been rescues done by the National Guard in Schoharie, the town of Schoharie. Middleburg, I believe there was a report earlier, something sort of scary about a fire. Lisa, do you have
Yes, I actually have a little more info on that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been getting pictures. I've posted some of them, and others I have yet to post out of Middleburg. We have a reporter named Marty Rosen today in Middleburg who volunteered to cover some things for us over there. And this morning she was there when a barn caught fire.
What happened? Why? Why did it catch fire?
I am frantically trying to look up this information. She didn't have very much information on it when she called me this morning. Mm-hmm. She sent a photo of it and dashed off to do some reporting on what exactly had happened. But the barn, which I believe was at a farm that's sort of a major farm in the area, another undertold story, agriculture has been hit very hard in New York State and nowhere more than in the Schoharie Valley.
I have a great story about that from Fulton. Want me to tell
awesome,
it?
Awesome. Shannon? Now the barn, okay, the barn in question is at the corner of Route 145 and Route 30 in Middleburg, and it was in flames today.
What time this morning?
Late morning.
Late morning.
Late morning, around 11-ish, I believe that was when Marty called me.
The Fulton story, this is another example of people stranded. A noted author who actually is a regular at the Pack Attack and Farmers Market here in Middletown, or Roxbury, I'm not quite sure where that is on the line. Shannon Hayes, she raises grass-fed beef on Sapbush Farm, I believe it is, in Fulton. And she has been stranded ever since the storm hit. She recently managed to post an update on her blog, grassfedbeef.org, I believe it is, yesterday, with the generator they have they're using for a couple hours at a time, where she reports that they have no idea what's happening in the outside world. The town of Fulton, which is a pretty wide out town, has galvanized. She reported that one of her neighbors actually strapped a tank to his ATV and drove 7 miles to Cobleskill, I think, to restock on beer. And but they're essentially totally cut off, and their farm animals are eating grass. It's the only thing they've got. They are preserving their harvest and eating the food they have stored, and they expect to be stranded for weeks, if not longer.
I just have a very brief local note for people in the Roxbury, Margaretville listening area. I spoke with Pauline Liu at Casey Joe's yesterday, and she said that they were trying to get together some selling of vegetables at Casey Joe's in Arkville today from some of the farmers that still had crops left to sell. I do not know if that has happened.
I passed by Casey Joe's this morning. I saw a big table set up where they usually have their little farmers market. I didn't see anything out there yet, but I bet they'll get stuff out by the end of the day. I actually also passed by the Water Discovery Center, which has been turned into one of the two big dumps for Delaware County, which is kind of a heartbreaking
wow.
site. They're earth movers piling up trash there, and I think people are being asked to bring their flood damage materials to there. I also got an update from Glenn Peterson here at WIOX saying that in Arkville, the big story is the trailer park on the side of Dry Brook, which is just completely devastated. And there have been photos of trailers tossed around and moved, and we got lots of reports of that during the flood. We will be posting an Arkville update as soon as we can get to it, because we know that Arkville is sort of specially devastated. The trailer park really was wiped out fast.
And it's not the only trailer park in the Catskills that was wiped out. We know that was it Gilboa where there was a trailer
yes,
park?
Yes, Nickerson Campground in Gilboa, which is pretty close to the dam. We had pictures very early on Monday, Tuesday, I believe, of the trailers just floating away. Floating.
Also, Phoenicia. It appears that trailer parks tend to get built in low-lying areas, and what that means is that when the floods hit, the people who lose everything are the people that can least afford to lose anything. Mm-hmm. And this is a story that we're seeing emerging around the Catskills region, not just in Arkville, but in a lot of places. So thank you, Julia, for that.
Well, Lissa, we have 5 more minutes. I'd like to check in with the live blog again and tell me what you're seeing. What's the latest? And
we're seeing, for one, we're seeing a lot of people talking about WIOX because they're following along with us right now. Like I said, there are people talking about whether second homeowners should come up here, and we are telling people that they should not. And that is a controversial topic here.
speaking of WIOX, Lissa, I should have asked you this earlier. What is coming up next on WIOX?
Coming up next on WIOX, if we are to that point of the program already, Oh, my goodness. Coming up next on WIOX, Janet Napolitano, U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Governor Andrew Cuomo, Wayne Spienberg, Chair of the Greene County Legislature, New York State Senator James Seward, New York State Assemblyman Pete Lopez of the 127th District, and U.S. Congressman Chris Gibson. That is quite a list.
This is all on Terry Doyle's show, Lisa?
Yes,
Terry Doyle, a magnificent reporter, especially in a crisis, is going to be airing recordings and interviews with all of these politicians and bigwigs. Bravo, Terry. That's amazing. Thank you.
That is just a rock star list of interviewees for a tiny little radio station and a tiny little new media news outlet to have pulled together. And hats off to everybody at WIOX who has been working just heroically along with everybody else who has demonstrated heroism in this situation.
So, Lisa, we are winding up here. Tell me, and this is going to be a scary question, what is the biggest story that came out of this hurricane response? What's the thing that's keeping you up at night?
Well, I think, like you said, the people that are stranded, that are still stranded, and I think that story is not only undertold, it's not over, because what's happening now is that the people who are stranded have been reasonably okay for the most part, we hope. I think we're going to see more problems emerging as people run out of medication, as they run out of gas and supplies and food. These people that are stuck, being stranded in your own home is not such a big deal for a couple of days, but the longer it goes on, the more of a desperate situation it becomes. And so I think that is just a huge, terrible story. Obviously, the downtowns that have been devastated and in some cases wiped out entirely are terrible, and they are getting national media attention. The governor was in Prattsville today. Prattsville is practically obliterated. These are terrible stories, but I do think that the story of people that are still stranded is one that we need to keep hammering on.
You are listening to the Watershed Post Half Hour News Hour, special Hurricane Irene Impact Edition on WIOX 91.3 FM, simulcast on WGXC, Greene and Columbia County Radio. We will be following this story, and you can tell us what's happening on our live blog anytime at www.watershedpost.com. Everyone stay calm.
Keep calm
together,
and carry on. And keep
we
checking
love you.
The Watershed Post. We have lots of resources up on our website.
Yes, we'll be fine. We'll stick together and it'll be great. Up next, Terry Doyle. Thank you so much.